We talked a little bit earlier about the class, and I'm just going to pick up with, have you got your syllabus? Take a look at your syllabus. First of all, my contact information is on there. You can snail mail me, you can email me, you can call me day or night if you need me, and I'll answer the phone if I can. That's the way it works. We are meeting class tonight, obviously. We are not meeting class next Thursday night, the 15th, but we will be back the 22nd of October, meet every Thursday night, projected until the 10th of December. It is possible we might do 7 and not 8, but I'm not sure. We'll just have to see. There have been times when this has happened in 7. It's once, I think, we did 7. So, but that was also a class that was bound and determined that we were happy with meeting 3 hours a night instead of 2 in order to finish a week early. And honestly, I'd rather go 2.5 hours a night and go 8, just be honest with you. And we'll see how all that really works, but y'all can give me feedback on that. It's fine. What work is required of you? It's just spelled out there. And I want to make sure everybody understands what work is required. 1, journaling exercises as described in the student guide. Got your student guides? Your student guides begin with learner objectives, homework assignments. And at the end of your homework assignments, I believe, at every one of the module, at the lesson starts, is this idea of a write in your journal, right? Sometimes it's write in your journal, write in your journal. It's like this. If there are more than one journaling prompt in a lesson, then you write on the one of your choice. But I want one journaling assignment per lesson. Yep, every lesson should have a journaling prompt. If you have trouble finding them in the student guides, look in the faculty guides. At the very end, at the tail end of the...
Are you going to look at our journals?
I am, yeah.
That's why we're not there. Hard copy.
So I will want your journaling exercises. I normally ask for those in halves. So about midway through our class, which would put us at about 11:05 that night, I would sort of like the first half of those journaling assignments. And the last class session we meet, the last half. Which means you might be a little ahead of us, and that's okay. We're not going to cover all that straight rote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, anyway. So, journaling prompts. Journals don't have to be long unless you just feel like you need to be verbose. Journaling prompts are really for you. If it's 3 sentences, I'm okay. You can work ahead. You can do them all tonight if you just can't sleep. I think it's best if you do your journaling prompts 2 or 3 a week, kind of run with the flow of the class, which would pace it about 3 a week, just because the cumulative effect of it. Journaling prompts are really for you, not for me. I'm just going to check to see if you did them. Don't be offended if I'm not reading them carefully, okay? I'll skim through them enough to know that there's a little thought being shown. Journaling prompts are more for you, though. That's your processing time with the material. That's kind of the way the modules are designed. An analysis of Genesis chapters 1 through 5, discussing 10 theological concepts these chapters seem to support. Typewritten, 1,000 to 1,200 words, that's 4 to 5 pages. Okay? That's one of what I would call the two major assignments, although you're going to think there's 4 major assignments. There's really just 2 giants, and the others are pretty easy.
Do you have a specific on the font and stuff on that?
1,000 to 1,200 words. You can make it as big as you want to, but if you make it great big, it's going to be 10 pages, not 4 or 5. So, yeah. I normally like about 12-point font, double-spaced. It's what I prefer to read. My old eyes and my bifocals read that pretty well. If you make it 9-point or 8-point, it'll fit on 2 pages or 1 page. If you make it single spaced, maybe front and back on 1, send it to me electronically so I can blow it up and read it. Okay. This will become more clear. This assignment will also be due on the 5th of November. So that's going to be a lot due on the 5th of November, so don't cram it all on the end. Just and even if we do finish with class lecture in 7 nights instead of 8, the final assignments will still be due on the 10th. Those can be mailed or emailed to me, or if you just feel the need to come on Thursday night and eat at Papa Boudreaux's and fly, we could meet at the restaurant. So, number 3 is a big assignment. I'm just going to tell you, you need to start now. Okay? This is why you need a good study Bible. There are 66 books in the canon of Scripture, right? How many? 66. And you are going to write a 1-paragraph summary for every book in the Bible. That's 66 paragraphs. How many sentences in a paragraph?
4 to 5.
3 to 5,
something like that. No less than 3. I always want to be clear. 3 sentences minimum make a paragraph.
3 sentences.
3 sentences minimum make a paragraph. Now, how are you going to do this? Are you going to read the Bible cover to cover between now and December 10th and summarize it? No. You're going to learn how to use your study Bible, which means you're going to find that a good study Bible has a nice little introduction. Right? It has a nice introduction at the beginning of every book. That's the point of a study Bible, right? It's got some study helps in it. And one of the study helps is this introduction to the book. Don't get confused on the introduction to the Old Testament and the introduction to the Pentateuch. You're looking for the introduction to Genesis. And guess what? You're going to find that they're probably going to give you 2 or 3 paragraph summary of the content of the book. And what you're going to do is you're going to read that introduction, and you're going to write a 3 to 5 sentence paragraph about that introduction. Okay? What is this going to do? Please understand that what you really should do is, as you work through this module, you should read all of the homework assignments prescribed in the faculty guide. And after you've done that, you will think more kindly of me, and you'll think that I've not just given you a bunch of busy work. You'll understand how much I've pared down the homework assignments that the module originally had embedded in it. The dozens and dozens of assignments that they have embedded in it, I think. So I've taken it down to 4, okay? 4 assignments. The journaling prompts this analysis of 10 theological concepts in Genesis 1 through 5. The one paragraph summary of each book in the Bible. I don't know that everybody in here has read their entire Bible cover to cover. I don't know that you are familiar with the content of the whole of Scripture yet. This will make sure that you've had some minimal contact with every book in the Bible. That's what this is about. Biblical theology, right? Introduction to biblical theology. How in the world can you do it if you don't have at least some clue about what the book says? This will make sure that you've had some minimal contact with what the book, every book of the Bible is about. That's what it's designed to do. And then the fourth lesson, sort of the final thing, and assignments 3 and 4 will be due on 12/10, by the way. Why do I do this to myself? I don't know. They're just due 12/10. And they are due 12/10. Don't. Okay? Please. They're due on the 10th of December. Don't ruin my Christmas. Don't force me to ruin anybody's Christmas. Turn them in on the 10th of December. And that is create a series of no less than 4 lessons, Bible studies, or sermons appropriate to the age group to which you minister on the subject and introduction to the Bible. Okay. I intend for these to be things you can use. Okay? On the topic, an introduction to the Bible. How would you teach, whatever group you teach, how would you preach to them about how to sort of understand the Bible and understanding what the Bible is, an introduction to the Bible, what we use it for, what we get from it, all of those things. Possibly lessons on the major... Some major theological, biblical theological themes, even. If you just feel real inspired, you're going to do 6 months worth of preaching, you want to write all that up, you can give it to me. But four lessons. Think about it. 4 lessons. What you're going to teach or preach.
Do you want like a series? Four-week series.
That's right. Or 4 lessons that would be cumulative. 4 Sundays where if you're a children's pastor and you do children's church, 4 children's church lessons. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you teach Sunday school, 4 Sunday school lessons. Your pastor, 4 sermons. Or 4 Wednesday night Bible studies. You know, pick your, you know, and like I say, that my intent is that this won't be just stuff you did for class, but this will be stuff you take to the pulpit, you take to the classroom, you take to your Wednesday night Bible study or your ladies' Bible study, whatever, and that you use those lessons as teaching materials. You're building curriculum. I hate busy work. I don't want to read it. I never wanted to do it. I don't want to grade it. Anything that I ask you to do in a class that I teach, I have sat and wrestled and thought, will this help teach the material? So I think these 4 assignments will help accomplish the objectives, the teaching objectives for this class. That's why they're here. That's why I ask you to do them. Any questions on the assignments or when they're due? Okay.
You want the second half of the journal also due on the
10th. That's right.
Does it matter the number of 4s? It doesn't matter
If it's four sermon outlines, all I'm going to say is if you give me sermon outlines or teaching outlines, they need to, the outline points need to be fleshy enough. They need to be complete enough that they're whole thoughts that I can follow. Not, you know, not one word outlines, but sentence type outlines. But if they're a page a piece, if it's, these are going to be your teaching points and they're, you know, I mean, I don't know how you write sermon outlines. I know how I write sermon outlines. Trust me, you don't want to preach from my sermon outlines. Number one, I'm not sure you can read my handwriting. And I handwrite my sermon outlines. And I handwrite my sermon outlines because my brain works differently with my handwriting than it does with my typing. I can write one-word outlines or two-word point outlines with my hand. And I write on my tablet to do that. And my brain will conjure an entire thought process from two or three words in an outline if they're handwritten. If they're typed, I better make sure they're typed out like a paragraph to get the same effect. It's just something about the way my brain works.
I'm the same way. I never
thought about that, but yeah. It's like when I've written it, my brain will go back to that moment in time and conjure that thought process right back up, where if it's typed out, it won't do it.
Why I can write notes as well.
Yeah.
Do you want this to be where it can be emailed to you, or do you want to, is there certain things you want handed in?
I will, you can email, you can turn in any of your assignments electronically. All of them can be turned in electronically. It's fine with me.
Okay.
And I don't know if you noticed, but there was only one of these that I said had to be typewritten. I want to be able to read them, whether they're typewritten or not. So you make that choice. Just remember, I have to be able to read it. So. Any questions on the syllabus? The requirements, the texts are the teacher's guide. That's a good reference. It's not a bad read. There's good material in there. You may decide, I don't know what I'm talking about, if you read it, and that's okay too. Student guide has some helps in it. Again, I would print the faculty guide and use it more for reference, and then I would, more like a textbook, and then the student guide I would maybe keep online electronically. Just sometimes the teacher's guide refers to some of the outlines. It doesn't reproduce all of the little resources that are in the student guide. So, and I'm not going to say you don't have to print any of them for that matter. You can use them electronically. I'm not against that. There's a pretty good little lecture on the nature of biblical theology in lesson one, starting on page 10. I'll just sort of point that out for your reading. And then I will sort of slide over and suggest that the Wesleyan perspective on biblical theology is a little bit different. Wesley certainly embraced the whole tenor of Scripture. He was a Protestant under the influence of the Church of England. He was probably not quite as reactionary as some other reformers. And in the way that he used Scripture, he's, in so many ways, the Wesleys were in the middle way. They were via media. They were kind of right in the middle of the road. They weren't quite Catholic, and they weren't come, you know, way on the far end of Protestantism. They were somewhere in the middle theologically between those two. When it comes to biblical theology, they weren't a real reactionary movement against dogmatics. They weren't into church dogmatics, and they weren't huge reactionary. They were a little more comfortable in the middle. But they definitely embraced the whole tenor of Scripture. That's just a very Wesleyan perspective, is that we can't lift scriptures out of context and use them in isolation to form doctrine. We have to think about what the whole of scripture teaches. And so we're going to do that. And I think that we might even have a little fun for about the next 20 or 30 minutes. Because